Get your Bible, turn to 1 Peter. Now this message tonight, it really is going to be a very simple message, but at the same time, for some people it could become, or it could be, a somewhat of a profound message. And you'll understand this here as we go on. And you know, recently we've talked about different ways that Satan has deceived us, the way that he's moved in our churches and through ministers, et cetera, and so forth. And they didn't even realize that they were being used, but yet things that they were teaching were wrong. Well, this is kind of an example of this tonight, what we're going to look at. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, let's just read beginning in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Now, he mentions in verse 5 that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now, this is interesting, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time here on this fifth verse, other than we're going to read it again, but I want you to pay close attention to the way that it's worded and the way that it's structured. Who, now we're the who in this. Christians, let's put it that way, are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Christians are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now turn over to Romans chapter 1. Now it says there, the Christians are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So we as Christians are kept by the power of God. My question then would be, what is the power of God? Well, we can talk about, you know, well, it's anointing, it's glory, it's the Holy Ghost, and, you know, things like that. And we would not be incorrect in saying any of those things. However, there's something a little more specific that we want to look at tonight. He says that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Well, another way that we can kind of structure that would be, we are kept by the power of God, and it's our faith in the power of God which produces unto us salvation. Okay? So that's another way that we could say that. Well, in Romans chapter 1, we're going to look at a specific verse here, and it's kind of similar to what we just read, but it has some more specifics in it. Now let's look at this. Verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now look at this again. First off, over there in Peter, he said that we're kept by the power of God unto through faith unto salvation. Here he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Jew first, also to the Greek." Over in 1 Peter, he made the statement, we're kept by the power of God. The question was, what is the power of God? Well, here, that question, in essence, is answered. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." What is the gospel of Christ? It is the power of God unto salvation. Well, remember over there in 1 Peter, he said the power of God, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And he says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, look closely at this. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So, if I want to experience salvation, then what I need to do is tap into the gospel of Christ, because the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. But it says something interesting here: to everyone that believeth. Now, I want you to see the progression of events here. First off, I have to be a believer. Okay? In fact, do this. Turn back over to 1 Peter and hold your place in both, like pinch all the pages in between so you can flip back and forth. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, keeping in mind that 1 Peter is written to Christians, not to lost people. It's written to the body of Christ. And it says in verse 5, chapter 1 of 1 Peter, that Christians, or the body of Christ, are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Christians are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now, if you look back again in Romans chapter 1, it says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So in 1 Peter, he's writing this to Christians. But then he turns around and he says that we are kept by the power of God unto salvation, through faith, unto salvation. If this is now think about this for a minute. If 1 Peter is written to Christians, then why would he tell us that we're kept by the power of God unto salvation if indeed we were already walking in the fullness of salvation? Are you with me on this? In Romans, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So, first off, I have to believe it, okay? First off, I have to be a believer. After I am a believer, it is the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So here I am a believer, then I see and hear that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to me. So I'm a believer, I believe it. Then God says, all right, now that you're a believer, I want you to understand something. The gospel of Christ is the power unto salvation for you. So I'm sitting and I'm thinking, okay, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And God says, that's wonderful. But you need to understand something. Just because you're born again does not mean that you're walking in the fullness of your salvation. Now, I want you to, those of you that, just think back to your religious background. How many of you grew up being taught, and you see this word in here, gospel of Christ. How many of you grew up being taught that the gospel was essentially, ye must be born again? And you were taught the gospel is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's all you ever heard about the gospel. That's how it was for me. That's what I heard. We were taught that preaching the gospel meant preaching you must be born again. We were taught preaching the gospel meant leading people to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and so forth, and that you must accept Him as your Lord and Savior. That was the gospel as far as we were concerned. Now, I want you to turn over to Colossians chapter 1. In verse 5, well, I'll tell you what, back up to verse 3. It says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints. Now look at this fifth verse. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now stop right there. Now look at this. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. How do we know that there is a hope laid up for us in heaven? Well, he says, this is how you know that. Whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So, if you look at this, the thing which is laid up for us is not heaven. It's something that's in heaven. Do you see this? The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. It doesn't say the hope for you which is heaven. It says the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, we're not going to focus so much on the hope that's a part of this hope that's laid up for us includes, you know, the glorified body, all right? But we're not going to focus on that hope. But what we want to point out is the hope he's talking about is not heaven. It's something laid up in heaven. And then it says the way that you know that is because you've heard it preached and taught to you before. And what was it that you heard preached and taught to you before? It was the word of the truth of the gospel. Okay? Now, using this fifth verse alone, we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that preaching the gospel is more than just ye must be born again. Because he tells you right here that in the preaching of the word of the truth of the gospel, it includes teaching somebody about what is laid up for them in heaven. Not just that heaven is waiting for you, but that something is laid up for you in heaven. There's a hope for you in heaven. So if I'm going to stand up, now listen closely. If I'm going to stand up and I tell you that I'm preaching to you the gospel, then somewhere along the line, I should be mentioning something about a hope that's laid up for you in heaven, which in part would be, you know, your glorified body. In other words, the gospel, if I'm preaching the gospel, it includes more than just ye must be born again. There's more to it than that. All right, now let's take this a step further. Turn over to Luke chapter 4. Jesus is in a synagogue. Well, let's just say church. He's in church, okay? And he stands up and he begins to speak. Verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, if you look at verses 18 and 19, look at this again. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, here, he's making a statement. And over in Acts, it talks about how that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Okay, now why, Jesus, was the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Well, because he has anointed me. Okay, well, what has he anointed you to do? Here's what he's anointed me to do. To preach the gospel to the poor. Really? Well, what all does that mean? Well, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then, from this point on, what do we see in the life of Jesus? Did he not go from place to place and open the blind eyes, cause the lame to walk, the mute to speak, raise the dead, heal the sick? Did he not minister to people that, it talks about here, brokenhearted? Didn't he minister to people that were brokenhearted? Remember the lady that was caught in the act of adultery? I mean, that lady was messed up. I mean, she was definitely brokenhearted, and he ministered to her. She thought she was going to die. And he said, "Well, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." He ministered to people that had wounds on the inside, so to speak. Here's what we have. We have Jesus who was sent. In fact, over there in, I think it's in Mark, where it talks about he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus goes about preaching the gospel. Therefore, now here's where it becomes a stumbling block for a lot of people. Well, in fact, didn't he say something about it being a stumbling block? Here's what becomes a stumbling block. Jesus went about ministering kingdom principles. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, hardly ever was he, I'll put it like this, hardly ever was he preaching an evangelistic message. Now, when we think of evangelistic message, we think of, you know, you need to be saved, you need to be born again, you need to accept Jesus. All right, so that's what we're going to call an evangelistic message. In fact, really, what we see is the most pronounced, profound evangelistic message that he ever gave, it was to one man, Nicodemus. You must be born again. I mean, no doubt in that one. But to the rest of the people, he uses parables and other things, and he's sharing with them principles of the kingdom of God. At one point, he makes a statement to the disciples. He said, there's a lot more I could teach you at this point, but I can't because you're not ready to handle it. But the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he'll remind you of the things I've said. He'll teach you all things and guide you into all truth. So Jesus went about preaching kingdom principles. Another way to say that is this. Jesus went about preaching and teaching the gospel. Therefore, if we want to know what the gospel message really is, we have to go back and read the teachings of Jesus. That is the gospel message. Now, included in the teachings of Jesus, now see, this is whether we know it or not, what we've created now is a major stumbling block in the body of Christ. Because anyone who stands up and says, we are preaching the totality of the gospel, but they're leaving things out that Jesus taught, then they're not teaching and preaching the totality of the gospel. What are some of the things that Jesus... See, Jesus, he taught and preached the gospel, but his life was a demonstration of the gospel. The things that he did, he lived the gospel. John 14:12, where he talked about the things that I do, you believe in me, the things I do, you shall do also. That is a commission that we're supposed to preach and teach what he preached and taught. And then he made the statement over there before he ascended, and he said, you know, preach the gospel to all nations. Well, what we've done is we've taken that statement and interpreted it to mean preaching the gospel is simply telling people you must be born again. However, Paul wrote and he said, our gospel was not in word only, but in demonstration of power, signs, wonders, miracles. So the apostle Paul, if you will, picking up where Jesus left off, he makes the statement that when you're preaching and teaching the gospel, it isn't just in what you say, it's also in what is demonstrated. Now let's think about some of the things that Jesus taught as it relates to the gospel. Didn't Jesus say, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name? They're going to, you know, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. Take up serpents, lay hands on the sick, and you know, they'll be healed. All did he not say that? If that's what Jesus taught and preached, that's part of the gospel. You can't leave it out. Didn't Jesus say, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you"? You better believe he did. Therefore, if we do not preach and teach, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then we're not preaching and teaching the totality of the gospel. Or, let's put that another way, we are not preaching the full gospel. And here's the stumbling block. When you talk to some people about the church you go to, and you tell them, and they ask you, well, tell me about your church. Well, I guess you would say it's a full gospel church. Oh, and you're saying that we're not? Well, are you preaching and teaching what Jesus preached and taught? You better believe we are. Really? That's funny, because I used to attend that church. I don't ever remember anything beyond, you must be born again. You see what I'm saying? So here's the devil, and he says that he cannot shake you away from Jesus as being Lord and Savior. So what he does is trying to work his way in to get you to the point of believing that preaching the gospel only means telling people they need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because the moment that you accept that the gospel only means you must be born again is the moment that you have eliminated, really, I don't know what percentages are, I'll make one up, 80%, 90%, I don't know, of what Jesus preached and taught. Because when you go back and you read what Jesus preached and taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he hardly ever made reference to people being born again. He was teaching people about what would happen after they were born again. You see what I'm saying? He said, you can't even get into the kingdom of God unless you're first born again. But yet he goes around preaching and teaching the principles of the kingdom. So if we say that we preach the full gospel, then it has to include such things as healing, miracles, the gifts of the Spirit. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Martin. I don't remember Jesus specifically preaching and teaching about the gifts of the Spirit. Well, specifically, he didn't. But did he not say, I have more to tell you, but you can't bear it, but that the Holy Ghost would come, remind you of what I've said, and then teach you all things? Did he not say that? So what we see then from the book of Acts on is a continuation of what Jesus was teaching when he was here in the flesh. Therefore, from the book of Acts on, as we read what Paul and the others were preaching and teaching, that is a part of the gospel. See? We have not been led to believe this. We've been led to believe that the gospel is simply telling people they need Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is why some people will get upset with you if you say things like, we're a full gospel church, and they think you're telling them that they aren't. Well, in a roundabout way, you might be. Because if they take... Now, get this. If they take a stand against the gifts of the Spirit, for example, do you understand that they are taking a stand against a part of the gospel? That's heavy. They're actually building up walls against the gospel message. Because the gospel, put it this way, the gospel starts with, you must be born again. But that's just the starting point. When you begin to preach and teach the rest of the gospel, then you're going to have all these other things, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, taking authority over demons. Like over there in Mark chapter 11 where he says, believe in your heart, don't doubt, you'll have what you say. Pray, believe you receive when you pray, you'll have what you pray about. All of these things. This is all a part of the gospel. The full gospel. It's not just you must be born again. That's why when Paul was writing this about, the power of God unto salvation to us that believe, well, salvation then can't only mean be born again. Because I'm already born again, that's how I'm able to tap into the fullness of the gospel that's going to take me into the fullness of my salvation. It says that the... turn back over to Romans chapter 1. I want you to see it again. In that 16th verse, Paul said... In chapter 1, verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, we can talk about what he was saying all we want. But now here's a variation of that theme. If somebody stands up in a church and begins to preach and teach the full gospel, but that church has an official stand against such things, and they reprimand that individual, do you not understand that they are ashamed of the gospel of Christ? you know, kind of putting this in perspective, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says, it is the power of God unto salvation. So when I begin to understand the fullness of the gospel of Christ, I go through and I read the things that Jesus taught. I go through and I read the things that were written in Acts and Romans and Corinthians and so forth. And I begin to see that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So if I try to create this image, here I am, I'm a believer, and that way is the fullness of my salvation. Well, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, the fullness of what I have in Him. So as I go back into the gospel, or the Word, and I begin to examine the Word, I see in there that it says, by His stripes ye were healed. Okay, that's part of the gospel message. I see that, and I latch on to it. It's like, wow, look at this. It's not just a matter that I'm going to heaven, and it's not just a matter that I have a glorified body on the way, but it says that while I'm here, I was healed by His stripes. Wow! Praise God! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! I was healed by Your stripes. You know what I've done? The gospel of Christ, the power of that gospel, has now been able to take me another step into the fullness of my salvation, which includes my healing. Then I see about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Or then I see something else, you know, different aspects of this. I understand. I see over there in Jude where it says that I build myself up on my most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. It's like, wow. Oh, okay, I get it. So that's why the Holy Spirit gave me the ability to pray in tongues. It's so I could be built up on my most holy faith. Well, but where does my faith come from? And then I find over there in Romans where it says, well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's like, oh, okay, I get it. I take the Word of God, and I put it in me, and it's kind of like building blocks. And then I begin to pray in the Spirit, and somehow, I don't understand, but He's able to like help me put these building blocks in the right order so that I'm built up on my most holy faith. So now what have I done? I've taken another step. The power of that gospel, the power of the Word of the truth of the gospel, has now been able to take me even deeper into my salvation. Then I find out that as I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm also edifying myself. And I begin to see these other principles in the Word of God. And as I begin to apply those things, and what's interesting that where He says the Word of the truth of the gospel, it's not just a matter of what I'm hearing, but it's also a matter of what I'm... Jesus said, preach the gospel, did He not? All right. So and preaching means, in part, a proclamation. Now, let's come at this from a little bit different angle. Do you understand that you can preach the gospel to yourself? So, what do you mean? Okay, if the gospel is more than you must be born again, if the full gospel is everything you've inherited as a result of receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can preach the gospel to yourself. Well, how do you do that? Body, in the name of Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. You're preaching the gospel to yourself. See? Because that's the fullness of the gospel. And it is the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. See? So, let's take this word salvation. If I want my body to be saved or delivered from an affliction, I preach the gospel to my body. Do you see this? God sent His Word and healed you, body, and delivered you from all destructions, body. So in Jesus' name, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed, body. Do you hear me, body? I'm preaching to you, body. You're healed. Mind? Wait a minute. The gospel The full gospel says that God's not the author of confusion, that God's not given me a spirit of fear, but He's given me a spirit of power, love, power, a sound mind. Do you understand emotions? Hey, soul, listen up. I'm preaching the gospel to you, soul, in the name of Jesus. I have the peace that passes all understanding because Jesus said He left it with me. I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the full gospel, soul. That's the full gospel, emotions. I'm not confused. Do you understand me? And see, you begin, and this is where people get messed up. They criticize you for doing that. You're preaching the gospel to yourself. But if you don't understand what the full gospel is all about, and you think it's only get born again and go to heaven, then you're going to miss out on the fullness of salvation. But it's the gospel of Christ, the power of God, the word of the truth of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. So if there's an area of lack in my life, regardless of what it would be, if I find it in the word, and the word is truth, then that is the power of God unto my salvation. So it's not just me preaching to the lost that part of the gospel, which is you must be born again, but it's also me preaching to the body of Christ. Do you not understand that by His stripes you were healed? Do you not understand that God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Do you not understand that you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Do you not understand? And then I go through this list of everything that's contained in the gospel. See? And so not only do I deliver it unto you, but also I deliver it unto me. I begin to preach the gospel to me. And the power of the word, of the truth, of the gospel begins taking me from where I am right now deeper and deeper and deeper into the fullness of my salvation. And I begin to see manifested in my life the full gospel. See? Boy, the devil does not want you to understand this. Believe me, he doesn't want you to understand this. He wants, for people that believe that the gospel is only trust in Jesus and get born again, he wants those people to live their entire lives believing that that's all the gospel is about. People that tend to believe more than that, he doesn't want you to get a hold of the concept of preaching the gospel to yourself. Another way that you could put that is, you know, the faith and confession message. You're preaching the gospel to yourself. That's exactly what you're doing. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's like this beautiful circle. You preach the gospel to yourself. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You preach the gospel to yourself. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And what happens? The power of that takes you from where you are to the next step, and to the next step, and to the next step. Praise God. You changed. You changed. Which is exactly what He said. The gospel will change you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A full gospel church is only a church that preaches the full gospel. And if you're not preaching and teaching that, then you can't say you're a full gospel church or that you are preaching and teaching the full gospel. Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. To the best of my ability and understanding, I'm convinced that this is a full gospel church. Amen. Hallelujah. And the more of the fullness of the gospel that is revealed from the gospel is the more that will be preached and taught. And I guess like Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. I am not ashamed of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that when you got born again, that was just the first step into this abundance of everything that God's made available to us? Praise the Lord. We can preach the gospel to the lost, and we can preach it to ourselves and see results on both sides. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, all you gospel preachers, stand up.